course of years or whether it had been a lifetime thing. We don't know. We don't know who he was. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know how long he had been in that condition. What we do know is this, but he had four friends. And when they heard that Jesus was coming to Capernaum, the first thing they thought was, if anybody can do anything, it's Jesus. And so they took him up on a blanket, one on each side, all four. They tried to get him to Jesus, but when they got to the house where Jesus was, it was just way too crowded. People had filled up the house. They had filled up around the front door. Everybody was straining to hear what Jesus was saying, and they were not paying attention to these four men and their friend. How in the world are we going to get him to Jesus? And you know the story, how they somehow made their way up on the roof. They opened up an area on the roof so they could lower him down at the feet of Jesus. And the Lord healed him. Great story. Also reminds me of something. Those four men had huge confidence that Jesus could make all the difference. We don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of conversation was going on as they were carrying their friends through the streets of Capernaum. We don't know what they were saying, but I just can't help but think it must have been something like this. If we can get you to Jesus, if we can just get you to Jesus, then he will change everything. You will have a completely different future because you've met Jesus and he made you whole again. They spoke the future into the life of a man who was so sure his future was over. Gary Smalley tells a story about a friend of his that had a similar kind of experience. This man and his wife were invited by some friends to come over for Thanksgiving dinner, and they made their way over, and when they got there, they found there were about 40 people that had gathered, family, friends, folks who had been invited to be part of our Thanksgiving time. And they walked into the house, and it was filled with those great aromas, you know. The turkey was ready, the dressing was done, all of the extra stuff, the aroma of pumpkin pie. It was wonderful. And his mouth just began to water. And when everybody had arrived and everything was ready, he assumed, and now we'll all go into the dining room and we're going to have Thanksgiving dinner together. But that's not what happened. When everybody was arrived and everything was ready, the grandfather of the family called everyone into the living room and he had them stand in this big circle all around the circumference of the room. And then this grandfather, starting with the very youngest and all the way to the oldest, went from person to person and he put his hands on their head and he spoke a blessing and a future into that person's individual life. And person by person by person, this grandfather said, the Lord has a special plan just for you. And spoke a blessing. Gary said, as the grandfather came closer to his friend, the man unexpectedly began to have tears flow down his face. And he said later, you know, I didn't grow up in that kind of family. I grew up in a family where mostly what we heard were put downs and sarcasms and assurances that we were never going to measure up. The man said, you know, as I grew up and had a family of my own, I thought that I had put all of that behind me. But as that gentleman came to speak a blessing into my life, it changed me. For the first time, somebody said, God has a future just for you. You know, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about how you bless, how you bring a blessing into your home, because it's a life-changing thing when God's blessing extends not just for today and not just for tomorrow, but for your future. When you begin to realize the plan God has for you it never ends. And He is there just for you. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the power of bringing the biblical blessing into your home. And the first week was about the blessing of loving touch. And then the next was the blessing of spoken words. And last week, it was about high value. And this morning, I want us to discover the power of the blessing to picture a special future for the people you love. To be able to look out ahead and say, God has something special in store for you. Because you see, the Lord knows how much His children need words of promise. Nothing is more powerful than to be reminded on a regular basis, God is at work in your life. God is going to do something special through you. Whether you are 6 years old or 16 years old or 26 years old or 66 years old or older, there's never a time when God will say in your life, I'm through with you. It's over. The blessing is finished. There is always a future for those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that whatever may be happening right now, you can trust Him in the days to come is a powerful thing. Jeremiah the prophet was sent to the people of Israel at a critical time in their lives as a people. They had gone through a season when they had neglected the Lord. Step by step, year by year, they drifted away from God and God's plan for their lives. Step by step, year by year, they decided, we can handle this for ourselves. We don't need the future God has planned. We can plan our own future. And we can take care of our own lives. And because of their disobedience and because they had turned away from God, it led to drastic consequences. And they suffered as a people because they had turned away from God. And there had to have been the temptation from time to time to believe, God's through with us. We made our own mistakes. We brought our own consequences upon ourselves. God's done. But then God sent Jeremiah. And out of that failure and defeat and despair, they received a word of hope. The Lord provided it. We read it together a few moments ago. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I still have a future for you. And the message that God sent to His people so long ago is the same message He's sending to people today. I have a future for you. God has something in store for your life, and He wants to use you and He wants to use me to bring that word of blessing into the lives of our homes. To have the opportunity to pass on the good news that God cares and God has a plan. So how do you make that a reality in your life? If you take Jeremiah 29:11 and you speak it into the lives of families, what does that mean? Well, let me give you some ideas, some challenges, some opportunities that you can have to bring the blessing of a bright future into the lives of the people you love. The first thing I would say is this. You are His messenger of assurance to your family. The Lord said something very important at the very beginning of that passage I just quoted. This is what He said. I know. I know the plans I have for you. Sometimes the hardest thing about the future is that you don't know what's coming next. You know, life has a way of throwing unexpected things our ways. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations we never expected. Sometimes we find ourselves facing challenges and difficulties that we couldn't have anticipated. And that becomes the frightening thing about the future. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know where to turn. I don't know who to trust. I don't know what's going to happen. And when you don't know what's coming, there's great assurance in realizing God does. You don't know, but He does. And He's always known about your future and His plan for you. And so God's statement is both simple and profound. I know, not I think, not I believe, not I hope, never I am not sure. God always says, I know. So when it comes to the Lord and the future, remember this, nothing ever surprises Him. Nothing ever startles Him. Nothing ever makes Him stay up late and worry. He knows He is in control, and He will always be in control. And you can trust Him. There's great assurance in believing God has a certain future planned for you and for your family. And what greater thing can you do than to gather your home around you and to be able to say, God has a future planned. God knows exactly what He's doing. If you'll just trust Him, He will show you the way. When you're tempted to fear the future, remember the promise of Amos 4:13, where the Bible says, "For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name." In those times when you're afraid of the future and you're not sure what's coming next, know this, the one who made it all, the one who created everything, the one who created you, He knows and He cares. He never guesses. You're His child. And when you bring His blessing into your home, you're able to say, I serve the one who knows He has a special plan just for you. Not only that, God challenges you to remind your family of His personal promise. The Lord says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. You, personal you. Only you, specifically you. I have a plan for you. Not a plan for you as a group. Not a plan for you as a world. I have a plan for you personally. I have a plan for your home. You are in my sight. I am thinking about you. I care for you. I love you. You can trust me to take care of you. There may be a lot of things to worry about, but one of them is not whether He is paying attention to you. Sometimes we're tempted to think that. We step back, we go through hardship or setbacks, and we begin to think, okay, I guess God's forgotten about me. No, I haven't. I have a plan for you. Your own is mine. You can trust Him. Jeremiah says, the Lord's thoughts are toward you, and you can trust Him. When I think about that, I think about an image of an arrow flying toward a target. When the Lord says, I think my thoughts toward you, I'm aiming them toward you. You are right in the middle of my bullseye. This is all about you. And when I think about you, I have plans for you. Isn't that good to know? It's direct and it is intentional. And that's the message that your family needs to hear from you. The Lord knows who you are. He knows what is happening. He has plans specifically and personally for you. So make sure they know that God can be trusted about everything all the time. You can depend upon Him. And that's not all. Jeremiah also says this, and show them how to trust His grace. God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. And then He continues on. And what does He say? Thoughts of peace and not evil. God's blessings begin with His peace. And understand this, His peace is not dependent upon our circumstances. We can make a big mistake if we think, well, the only time I think that God is thinking about me is when everything is going my way. And I'm not dealing with any difficulties and I don't have any challenges in front of me and I'm not having to deal with tough stuff. That's just not true. In fact, what the Bible says is those times when God thinks thoughts of peace are just when you need them the most. Just when you're confused and struggling and not sure where to turn, then you recognize, even there, I experience God's peace. Peace comes from trusting that God's plans are always for your good. Peace comes from His promise that while evil may afflict you from time to time, evil will never win the day. We've all been praying for the folks who were so affected by the school shooting at the church this past week. And you've probably heard some of this debate back and forth about, so why bother with prayer? Why bother with thoughts and prayer? Prayer doesn't make any difference at all. I finally heard one person who said, what you have to realize is we live in a world that is afflicted by evil. And sometimes people listen to the voices of Satan, and Satan leads them to do things that are horrendous to other people. And when we pray, we seek for God's protection and guidance and hope and purpose in the midst of the affliction of evil. And we ask God to surround and bless people whose hearts are broken because wickedness affected their families. And I say that because I want to say to you, that's one of the reasons you pray for your family. You lift them up so that God can protect them, preserve them, and deliver them from the power of evil. But never think, God made this happen. Or God stood back helplessly. What you recognize is God steps into those situations and He says, this is not my plan for you, but I have a plan just for you. Peace comes from His promise that while evil may come, it will never win the victory because of Jesus Christ. Peace comes from trusting Him even in the midst of the worst of circumstances. Not long ago, I had a real old-fashioned worry party. You ever have one of those? You know, it usually comes about the middle of the night, and you wake up, and it's dark, and everybody else is asleep, so you got plenty of time to worry. And I worried about our nation, and I worried about the economy, and I worried about my family, and I worried about the world, and I worried about things going on at church, and I worried about things happening in my life, and I worried about all kinds of things that I have zero control over. And in the middle of it all, the Lord spoke clearly to me. And you know what He said to me? He said, Jim, I have never stepped down from my throne. That's what I needed to hear. I have never stepped down. You can trust me. And there was peace. Always remember this, especially as parents and as grandparents. Your family needs you to be a source of peace. What does that mean? They need to see, because of your faith in Christ, you're the one they can turn to. You're the one they can trust. You're the one they can depend upon, even when things get rough. They need to see the peace that comes from a trust in Christ. They need to see you standing strong in the peace that passes understanding. And so much hope comes from knowing we can rest in the peace that only Christ can give. And then Jeremiah reminds us that we're called to assure them of God's unchanging faithfulness, to give you a future and a hope. Sometimes you and I can get so caught up in the present that we think what's going on right now is all that is ever going to be. We think what I'm facing right now, what I'm struggling with right now, what is bothering me right now, is always going to be there. But God promises a future is on the way. One of the things that can steal your confidence in God's plan is when you allow yourself to become mired down. You're trapped in yesterday's failure. You're stuck in the struggles of today. You convince yourself that some stupid decision, some boneheaded act from years ago has taken away your opportunity to ever claim a future. And your family can become prisoners of your regret that paralyzes them from moving forward. This is what they need to know. Sins can be forgiven and regrets can be released. When you look and you think, I'm stuck, I'm mired down, I have made stupid decisions, I have committed deliberate sins, God could never forgive me, He doesn't want anything to do with me anymore. We need to hear that God can and will bless. All you have to do is place it in the Lord's hands. Micah 7:19 says this, He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Now there's a great future to plan, isn't it? You will cast it all into the depths of the sea. All of that stuff that's held you back, all of that failure, all of that fallenness, God casts it away. Never forget that the future God has planned for you extends all the way into eternity. This is what Jeremiah says. He's given us a future. What's going to happen in the next year, 2 years, 10 years, 50 years? And that's important. But more than that, He's given us a hope. And hope is about eternity. Hope is about the confidence of knowing, because my faith is placed in Christ Jesus, I have eternal life coming my way. No wonder Jeremiah ended this passage by saying, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The Lord is saying, if you're looking, I'm here. And you can trust me. I've got a future planned for you. I've got a hope planned for eternity. Nothing that can touch you will last forever except the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can depend upon that. Maybe today you're here and you recognize, I'm not sure I have this confidence and this peace. I'm not sure I have this future and this hope because I've never trusted Christ as my personal Savior. But today I want to do that. In a moment we're going to stand, we're going to sing. If you want to know Jesus, I'll be glad to meet you here. If you want to talk to someone after the service, I'll be around. Our staff will be around. We would love to talk to you about that. Maybe God has another decision. Be part of this church to follow Him in a whole new way. Maybe there's something He's been talking to you about in your own life and heart. There's a decision you need to make. You come as we stand and as we sing. in God's house together on this Labor Day Sunday. And I just want to say to those of you who doubted me, I stopped preaching at 11:13. I just want that to be on the record so that you can make your way down to have a great Labor Day chicken dinner. We want to invite everybody there. If you're here as a guest, please come and eat lunch with us. We've got plenty of food ready. We're looking forward to a great time. Our guys have been working really hard out there, and we're going to look forward to sharing that time. When I close in prayer in just a minute, I'm going to make that prayer our blessing. So once you get downstairs, you don't have to wait for anybody. You just get in line and get your food and enjoy it. Listen up. And then remember tonight, no evening services, so you can spend time with your family. So once we get done with lunch, you can go home and take a good long nap. It's going to be a great Sunday. Let's bow together now for our final prayer and then our final song as we're dismissed. And Father, we do thank you that you have a future plan for us. We thank you, Father, that we can trust you as we walk into that future. And Father, even in those times when we feel afflicted by evil, when we face challenges, to know the Lord is with us and his plan is faithful. So Lord, bless us. And Father, as we go together to share a meal, but more than that, to share together in great fellowship, we just want to pray, Lord, be in the midst of us. Bless the food and bless this family of faith. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.